a beautiful thing. Amen. Today I want to speak to you from the sermon series entitled Not Your Ordinary Christian. Not Your Ordinary Church. Yeah. Boy, I really miss when my wife ain't on her spot, boy. So I shall read through the specks of dirt. Amen. Pray for you, Pastor. Hey, we want to welcome all of our visitors and extended family in the house today. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see y'all. Amen. Great to see you again. Amen. All right. So last week, I was having a conversation, and I've not been able to figure it out who it was with, but it was something that they said, and I can't remember that either. But what I do remember is the thought that popped up in my mind. Someone had said something about, and it was to the tune of just being real about God. And the thought that came to mind was, not your ordinary Christian. And then while thinking about the potential sermon title, the thought came, nor church. I mean, if you think about it for a second, if we were, through the Holy Spirit, able to, here at Unity, build a body of believers that kept the word of God immaculately, I'm talking about they did their best to, we all would do our best to pattern our lives after God's word, then not only would we not be ordinary Christians, but this church, it would not be able to be ordinary as well. So let's look at the word ordinary and what it means. And the definition that I found that I want to use today, it says that ordinary is with no special or distinctive features. It's normal. And I don't know about anybody else, but ever since I was blessed to enter the kingdom of God, the last thing that I ever want to be depicted as is normal. When I answered my call to Christ, I had some super Christians saying, well, I know you're going to take them golds out your mouth. And I said, no, sir, Mr. Super Christian, because the golds is my superpower. You know you're going to get those tattoos taken off your body. No, sir, Mr. Christian, and I probably will have more. There is nothing ordinary. I'm extraordinary on purpose. And I believe that anybody who believes in the blood of the Lamb should go ahead and declare, I'm extraordinary on purpose. Yeah, you might not like it, but that don't change the fact. Amen. It says, with no special or distinctive features, normal. Now here's the hit. Did you hear the story? Did you hear the story? Did you hear how it all went down? Surely you heard how it all went down. I mean, you mean to tell me you didn't hear about when they nailed him to the cross? And you didn't hear that they cast a crown of thorns on his head. And when you think about thorns, they're not the thorns that you see out in your tree. They were thorns the size of railroad spikes. And they didn't just say, you're the king. They said, you're the king. Since you the king. You didn't hear about that. Oh, Lord. Well, here's the kicker. I read somewhere in John 3:16 that he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That didn't blow you away? Since the death didn't blow you away, that didn't, you didn't hear about that? Well, how about this? Because this one tripped me out. When I read over in Romans 5 and 8, and from the New Living Translation, it said, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Get this part. While we were still. Knee deep in it. And he was dying. All the way wrong times three. And he was dying. See, the way that my thinking is set up is there is nothing ordinary about this God, and there is nothing ordinary about his son. And if we're just going to call ourselves followers of Jesus and lovers of God, call me crazy, but I just don't see how we could be ordinary either. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why for so many of us professing Christ, we operate with no power at all. Maybe this is the reason. Maybe this is the reason that our witness isn't effective, and that there is not a whole lot about us that exemplifies new. Let me tell you something. We're living in such a cold-blooded world that people are actually trying that are actually trying to come out of the world aren't just choosing any church and any pastor and any denomination. Folk are looking for power, change, and love, and people are looking for ministries that can help them to come out of the authority of hell, addiction, and watch this, not just for drugs, because some of us ain't never done a drug but still addicted to some things that ain't no good for us. And people are out here trying to stop themselves from going crazy, slitting their wrist and blowing their brains out. They don't have time for us. They don't have time to care about who's got the best praise team or preacher jumping up and down trying to pimp what's already a vulnerable mindset. Nobody got time for all that. Nobody got time for all that. How does your deliver me? And this is what I spoke to the praise team about. I just love what Larissa said. She said something that was powerful. She was like, no, I just like to keep it us for a minute. And I want you to understand, because we got some people coming, and it ain't closed off. But she says, but here's the thing, and this is what, after she said that, she dropped that seed, it began to sprout into all of the ministries, and we began to say stuff like, yeah, can't just everybody be down. Yeah, so what we're trying to do with the praise team now is we're trying to get the praise team to the point to where, watch this, all I got to do is get up and say, altar call. Because of the God that's living in their lives and the commitment that's in their lives, that's on their lives, that when they sing, it begins to deliver folk. Yeah, that ain't ordinary. Yeah, we're not pressed about how good you can sing, but what impresses me is about how much you love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so if any time during praise and worship you hear something that you might be like, ooh, that was, guess what? You're not in the spirit of the Lord. You're listening to music. Oh God. What the world needs is people that are qualified. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because we have people that's in trouble. We have people that need a savior. We have people in our families, in the workplace. We've got people sitting here just a few seats down from you that need someone to show them something more than a show. Because what has happened, okay, I hear you, Holy Ghost. This is good right here. He just dropped this one in me. He says what happens in a lot of churches is that people fake it out here in the stage, and then that spreads, and people begin to fake it in the seats, and then everybody leaves the same. And you can even call it unified mess. So be careful about when you want to preach about how, you know, the blessings come from the head to the door, because so does the hypocrisy. Amen? All right. I promise it's going to get better. The world needs people that are qualified to lead them to Jesus. And when I say qualified, I'm not talking about people who went to Bible college, who speak in tongues, or who's got a position in the church. I am talking about qualified, meaning that they was a wretch undone. That they were on the brink of giving up. They felt no love and had nobody to call on. So they just called on, they just on a whim, they just called on Jesus and he answered. They called on Jesus and he came running. They called on Jesus and he showed up with just what they needed. Not no money, not a position, not a bunch of empty promises, but he showed up with a solution. He showed up with a way out. He showed up with another point of view. The people that are caught up in the world need people from the church that are qualified because of their experience with Jesus.
Because of their experience with Jesus. There's people out here in the world that need people who's been through the fire and trusted God while in the fire, not after they came out. There are people out there that need people who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb and came out never the same. I don't know what's going on with this Christianity where we get washed in the blood, but we still be us. I don't know what kind of new is defined the same old, Lord, have mercy. And there are people caught up in the madness that needs, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And in times past, the world needs to see people that in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God. They need to see people who did not have any mercy at all, but now they have obtained mercy. That's what makes you qualified to lead somebody to Jesus. I was once a hot mess. I was a trip. People didn't trust me, let alone like me, but somehow, some way, God saw the best in me. And I took him at his word. And my life has never been the same. That's the qualifications of leading people to Christ. And possibly could it be that we're not leading a whole lot of people of Christ to Christ because many of us have not had an experience with Christ. We've had a lot of church. We've had a lot of rules. We've had a lot of wills and wants, do's and don'ts, but we've yet to have a true experience with Christ. Because I come to tell you, baby, when you have an experience with Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Now, in the scriptures, you see the word peculiar, and I was looking for a definition that would suit this sermon, and I found two, but one, the second one, it kind of blew my mind. The first one said that peculiar means strange, odd, or unusual. Say it with me, strange. Mm-hmm. And I want to deal with that in just a second, but first I want to give you this second definition that's not really necessarily an definition as much as it is an explanation. It goes like this: if you describe someone as peculiar, you think that they are strange or unusual or sometimes in an unpleasant way. When you think of them, you think of them in an unpleasant way. I want you to, if you take a picture, write that down. I want you to, you know, draw a line under that unpleasant way part. We're going to get back to it. And it's deep because when you got saved for real, and this is why it has to be for real. I want you to hear this. This is why it has to be for real. I want you to hear this. This is why it has to be. When you say you give your life to Jesus, it has to be for real.
Now, I'm going to tell you why it has to be for real, because if it's not for real, then it's not going to bless you. It's not going to keep you. It's not going to strengthen you. It's not going to do all for you that you're going to need it to do. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you're going to show up at church, put some money in the basket. You know, you're going to join an auxiliary, but still things be crazy. It ain't no way in the world that you're supposed to walk into the house of the Lord where Jesus resides and leave out of here things being crazy. Let me tell you why it's so very important that when you get saved, you're saved for real. Because watch this. Just because you saved don't mean you ain't going to slip. Just because you saved don't mean you ain't going to trip. But it's something about the power of God that when you have experienced right relationship with him, that you can't stay in your mess. Anybody ever get saved like that? Save, slip, and just don't feel the same. Save, slip, and you can't enjoy it. Yeah. And that's important, because if you got saved and slipped and then you liked it more than God, then you're lost. So we have to be sure that it's for real. Let me tell you, check yourself every day, right? Because the world is throwing subliminals every day, all day. And I just come to realize that sometimes I don't even know that I'm a little weaker than I was last week. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So get this. When you get saved for real, and it has to be for real, because if you're faking or playing a game or wanting this life but refusing for whatever reason to take the necessary steps and changes that it calls for, you will be left out. Again, I'll say it will never bless you, keep you, next level you, until you become serious and without excuse. Now watch this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is new in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the behold really should have been, I thought, it was Paul, so I can challenge him, but I can't challenge Jesus. But I thought behold should have been in all caps. I did. I thought it should be in all caps. Why? Did you know me before I wasn't saved? Before I was saved? Did you know you before you was saved? And when you say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Don't you understand? Behold, all things have become new. Hey, that you got to understand. That just don't be like, and look, it's new. No. You need to understand the seriousness of the depravity of your sin nature. Oh, so you just brand new. Thank you. You got it. That's what I've been trying to tell you. I'm new. And because I'm new, watch this, I don't operate in the old so well no more. Oh, y'all not hearing me in here today. I used to be good at the old. I mean, I used to be the bomb at the old. But now, you know, people looking at me like I'm crazy, like I got two heads. You know, I'm trying to do old, and it's just like I got two left feet. It don't work for me no more. Why? Because I had an experience with Jesus. And you might get me to the party, but that don't mean I'm going to dance. Shando. Okay, watch this. Watch this, because it's a proof. I'm going to show everybody in here something. It's deep. Or I'm just a nerd. All right. See, when you become new, and I want you to catch this, especially when you are out there in sin, when you become new, it changes things, watch this, especially with the people who was never for you, but you allowed in your circle anyway. Babe, can you wipe these down? Hit this for me real quick. I feel like I got curl juice in my hair, so I don't know what's going on. Now, this is deep right here. This is the deep part. Right? They wasn't for you, never was for you, but you had them in your world in the first place. But you had them in your world anyway. Make that make sense. Now watch this. See, because when you allow people in your world that ain't never supposed to be in your world, that means that there's a defect in your spiritual defense mechanism. That something has been loosed that says, I need somebody, and since I need somebody, everybody gets in. Oh, God. Thanks, babe. Now watch this. Now, this is deep. They are not for you, But yet they have been allowed access to your circle. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me and hear me good. Not just anybody should have full access to your circle. Let me take it deeper. Not just anybody should have full access to you. Oh, God, and I don't know why, but I want to share this with you real quick, and some of you might say it again, Pastor. But never give, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I think it's about 20 of you in the building. Never give so much of yourself to something or someone that you have nothing left for you. Say it again. Never give so much of yourself to something or someone that you have nothing left for you. Because see, here's the hit. If you ain't got nothing left for you, you ain't gonna have nothing left for God. So now you done gave what belongs to God to your God that didn't come through. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Listen. You want me to say it one more time? One more again. Never give so much of yourself to something or someone that you have nothing left over for you. Ever been there? As when the car break down, everybody they leave you there. Car break down, everybody start calling rides. And ain't nobody offering you one. Okay, let me stop. Let's just listen. See, some people, some people that was down with you was just, some people that you worked with even on your jobs, they was just meant for you to work with. And after your job, you go your separate ways in your separate houses, and you wake up in the morning and you do it all over again. But that relationship, because you work next to them, don't mean y'all were supposed to be besties. In fact, if you over 30 and you still saying words like besties, I need to see you at the altar. Because when I became a man, I put away childish things. Listen, I'm trying not to even get into all of this, but I'm having like emails from the heaven, right? You know when people start saying stuff like, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my bestie. They should say please after that. Because it's not necessarily true, but they need it to be. The person saying it needs it to be. I had over 20 spiritual mothers because my mother was not what I needed her to be. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now I've got two spiritual mothers, and they're everything I need them to be. You see what I'm saying to you? But we oftentimes and women are good at this. You'll make her your friend, your sister before she was ever even your friend. And the reason that you do that is because you need folk. Am I telling the truth in here today? So what's this got to do with the gospel? The gospel ain't weak, so you shouldn't be either. That's what it's got to do with the gospel. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you actually have this relationship with Jesus, you stop needing everybody else to be your friend. Is this making sense today? You see? And it doesn't, and then those of you that are friends to the needy, don't get funny style because they finally grew themselves up in God. Don't get funny style about that. You needed them to do that because, while they was weak, they was wearing you out. So what's it say about you that because they was weak and it was wearing you out to keep them afloat, that you was getting drowsy, but you liked it. What's that say about you? You might not be that strong, just stronger than your weak friend. And so where do we find our strength in? We find our strength in God. We find our strength in the word. You see what I'm saying? What's this have to do with the gospel? Because the gospel wasn't weak, and you shouldn't be either. Now, catch this. And these people that got in your life that wasn't supposed to be in your life, these are the ones that you not just have them in your life, but you got them close to you. So their opinion has mattered to you for some time now. But now that you are new, see, the Bible says in John 4, 1 through 3, we're almost done already, in the Message Bible, it says this in the First John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, excuse me, it says, "My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Most preachers ain't gonna read this version. You understand? Verses. Y'all gonna have to get it together. Verses 2 through 3. Y'all ready? It says, "Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than you thought." How many Antichrists you got in your circle? Well, let me make it easy for you, sir, and stop you from being able to lie. How many people, my wife's on it. She said, "How many you got in your family?" How many people are connected to you that don't believe in God? I ain't talking about don't believe in, I got a whole bunch of people because they say they love. How many people they say they love God, but they don't go to church nowhere? And you say, "Well, you ain't got to go to church to believe in God." You a lie. The Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembly." But hold on, check this though. I love what Pastor said. How many of you connected to people that say they saved, but you ain't got no fruit? They ain't got no fruit. They ain't got a saved thing about them. I mean, I know I drink and I know I smoke and I know I cuss and I know I sleep around, but you ain't gonna tell me that I don't love God. Yes, I will. And not only will I tell you that you don't love God, the Bible tells you you don't love God. Yeah, and could it be that when they said, and y'all know they sit around y'all and say that stuff, and you be like, "You know what, I ain't even gonna say nothing." You are just as in sin with them, because you are supposed to check the wolf at the door. They know you believe in God. They gonna sit there and tell you, "I don't do all the things. I do everything that you shouldn't do, but I still believe, and you ain't gonna tell me no different." The devil is a lie. We had a situation yesterday. We had a situation in here yesterday. Funeral was going on. Had a guy jump up. Oh, strange weed in the garden. And he said, get this. He said, "The Bible says, once saved, always saved." That's what he said. He said, and the people that was in here, it was about 250, maybe 300 people in here, and they were saying stuff like, "Yeah." And he said, "It don't make no difference if you, how you sin, what you did, you good. All you got to do is trust God, because the Bible said that once saved, always saved." And all you knew were the sinners, because they just jumped up. Amen. And those of you that know me know that I don't speak very often at funerals, that I don't preach at, because that's what they expect you to do coming here. And so I just kind of chill. But by the time that he was halfway down the, halfway down the steps, and Miriam was like, "You better get him." And so in front of 250 to 300 people, I let it be known. The Bible says, and ain't nobody in here got a right to judge nobody. I said, well, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things, but he can't be judged by nobody that ain't spiritual." You understand what I'm saying to you? So yes, we can. We don't have a heaven or a hell to throw you in, but we do get to read the word, see what you say, and then if it ain't right, call bogus. The next thing is, God, you will never read any part of the Bible that says once saved, always saved. In fact, the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, if he said, "Be holy because I'm holy," then once saved, always saved, if that's a true doctrine, then Jesus wasn't necessary. And then I turned around and said, you should be careful about quoting a Bible that you don't know, because you leave the people that's listening. So in case you was wondering, do he just do it in his church? I do it in my church with visitors. And that's how we have to be. If you read the scriptures of Jesus, he wasn't just some guy just like, look now, you know, give Caesar to Caesar what is due. Jesus was very intentional about you understanding the truth of God. Amen? Amen. And we got to come out of these pancake Candyland Christian churches that run around here, and just because it'll make people shout, they say it. Oh, didn't nobody speak to me yesterday? You ain't in my church no way. I don't, you know. But you will say you learned some truth. All right, we're almost done. Here we go. He says, and anyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is sooner than you thought. Now, check this out. I want you to get this. This verse is talking about false preachers and prophets. But how many of you in here understand that there are such things as false friends? Anybody ever ran into any of those? You got false preachers, you got false prophets, but don't leave some of your people out now. You got some false friends. False family members. As Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my mother and brother are the ones that keep the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, this is getting hot in here. Watch this. You know, I'm talking about the people who claim to love you but really only love what you can do for them. And when you aren't able to do for them anymore, you begin to see the them for who they are and what they are. Amen? And now watch this. Now, y'all clapping because some of y'all got some of those people in your life, but make sure that you clap just as deeply, because you're declaring that, and I ain't going to be that person no more either. Amen? You know, and I feel the Holy Spirit. Okay. You know, because I used to be one of those guys. Yeah, I used to be one of those guys. You know, I text people, and I just did it the other day. My homie up here, he checked me. He checked me so smooth. He didn't say nothing about it. I said, hey man, you know where I can find some struts, back and front struts for my car? And he says, well, good morning. I sat there. I was like, oh Jesus. Huh? Yeah. Good morning matters. Can I take it deeper? Good morning matters to someone who's always getting used. Yeah, that matters. Yeah, that matters. See, bump our stature, bump what we look like, how big we are, how tough we might talk. Baby, we got feelings. And I got a whole world trying to use me up. I just need to know when you text that you ain't trying to use me up too. Come on. Amen. Yeah, I learned that from my big homie. Yeah. I mean, because we had a whole situation one time, and then we spoke on it, and I was like, you ever been wrong and you good with coming back with something, and you ain't got nothing to come back with, and you just gotta sit in it? And he said with his piece, and I went, I didn't expect this as a reaction. But then love your friend enough to go and tell them, hey, my bad. You can count on me from her own. My bad. I handled that wrong, right? Yeah. How many of you will be friends today if you just learn how to say, my bad? Can I take it deeper? Or when they said they're bad, you accepted it. Because you're going to want them to accept yours. Now, the only way that you don't accept it is if they've apologized too many times. Oh, Lord. Because, see, too many times means you really ain't trying to learn. You're still just trying to get over. That's why men hate when they woman go off on him and he say something like, I'm sorry. And then she be like, why you sorry? And then you be like, be careful, gentlemen, of doing that. Sometimes it's just best not to eat that night. All right, let me get into this. We got visitors. People think I ain't saved. I promise I am. Check it out. So we need to try everyone who comes into our life, not by how nice they treat you, not by how good they get along with your kids. Single women, stop doing that. Given the test, is this going to be a proper suitor by how he deals with my children? Because if you are a professional gigolo, you know how to get along with some kids. That's when you do stuff like, oh, let him stay up another hour. That ain't hurting nothing. The kid over here like, I love him. Hope you stick around. Yeah, y'all dead wrong for that. That ain't your kid's job. What y'all think? After the next morning, after he gone. Don't make no difference what we thought. Evidently, you figured it out. He stayed. I'm going to tell you this, too, single, especially you young single mothers. Don't be running around here making your baby call people daddy that ain't they daddy. You stop doing that. You stop doing that. If you ain't married, don't be telling them to call. You understand what I'm saying to you? You're dead wrong for that. Amen. Run around here by the time child 19, he got 37 daddies. He need a second job just for Father's Day because y'all running around here making them. Everybody, they daddy. And why you doing it? Because you think that if they call him daddy, he'll stay. Manipulation. Uh-huh. Yeah, I see some of your faces. Uh-huh. My mother's queen of that. Y'all call him daddy if you want to. My sister be like, we don't want to. We like the last daddy, the one before the fourth one. Yeah, that one. Yeah, y'all got to stop doing that. You shut up. Don't speak on my mama. Speak on my mama. That's why she don't like you now. Listen. I don't even think wives will understand that. You can say about your mama what you want to, but baby, that's off limits to you. You don't. That woman's a saint, don't you? Listen. You have to try people by the Spirit of God. And let me make my point and I'm out. The Bible says that if you are new when you come to Christ, and the definition and explanation of peculiar says they are strange or unusual, sometimes in an unpleasant way. And I brought all of that back up because ordinary means with no special or distinctive features, just normal. And sadly enough, for the most part, that is what the world sees when they see most Christians. Nothing special about you. You're normal. Huh? Men, how many women have you led astray talking about, I'm with God? Can I just be 100? Pastor Sonia said, it ain't just men. I've been picking on the women all day. I'm trying to give them a break. But your pastor brought you back into it. And thirsty ladies, why does that get a man? The Bible called you gullible. The Bible said gullible women. Now watch this. So the word of God is being, watch this, and this is real. Some of y'all ain't gonna like this, but this is the truth. But so God's getting pimped twice. Why? Because you step in the door with God and she accepts on the strength of God. Oh Lord. When we gonna go to church? You know, I got things. Do you know that you can just try the Spirit by that question alone? Oh, so you're of the Lord? So when can we go to church? So you're of the Lord? You wanna come over? Bring your Bible. Let's read the Bible. And then you go while the kids is woke. You won't matter if my friend's over here and we read the Bible together. Then you go. That's trying the Spirit. Because if it's really something spiritual that they're looking for, they won't have a problem with any of this. Huh? Yeah, I'm an old preacher. I don't... Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, I come from the church where, you know, if you look at, a buddy, mama, a pastor, I couldn't get a good look at Miriam because if you look at a woman too long, she going to call you. Not in my church, you're not going to be looking over across the, huh? You got to try the Spirit by the Spirit. So watch this. This is one of the most, I don't ever want you to try it, but this is what you find out. When you ready to be disrespectful to God, but they not. Because a whole lot of women corrupted men that were sent by God. Because he was sent by God didn't mean that he was superhuman. It just meant that he was sent by God. And when you showed him something, when you offered him something, he was holy, not homosexual, and he might not have been to that point. So a whole, oh God, y'all don't want to talk. See, y'all playing. Y'all won't tell no truth. Y'all just won't keep on acting like we ain't supposed to talk about this stuff. And if we can't talk about this stuff in the sanctuary, you definitely don't want to be talking about it in a worldly setting, because 9 times out of 10, you're not talking about it. You're being talked into it. Oh, Lord, let me stop. Here, look, I'm just going to get you out of here because y'all tired of me. All right, you ready? I'm going to make this point. That's what they see when they see most Christians. There's nothing special about them. They dress, cuss, drink, smoke like everyone else. But every now and then, they get to meet a Christian who is peculiar. You know, strange, unusual, sometimes in an unpleasant way. And the reason that they find the Christian strange is because they are unlike the others that claim Christ. They actually keep the word of God. They actually exemplify a life in Jesus in love, kindness, and caring. And it blows people away. Because to be honest, as Christians, we kind of got a bad rap. And it's our fault. It's our fault. But in the last part of that definition or explanation of peculiar, it says in an unpleasant way. Some of you are starting to walk this walk out for real, and you're serious about Jesus. And to some of the people in your life, they're saying things like, you're starting to act a little strange. Because it's strange to say no when you always said yes. Huh? You being weird. So some of you are starting to walk this thing out for real. Watch this. And you're serious about Jesus, and they're starting to say things like, this ain't really working out for me no more. Because this is starting to produce an unpleasant way. Your newness is unpleasant for me. And the reason that it's unpleasant for them is because usually the pleasantness that they receive from you is not just pleasantness, it's control. So I don't get to control you no more, and I got a problem with that. So for the first segment of this one, I promise, for all the visitors, please come back. I promise I'm saved, and we'll talk more Bible later. I promise we will. But I want to catch you with this, okay? In order to not be ordinary, you're gonna have to love him. You're gonna have to love him more than your flesh. You hear me? You're gonna have to love him more than your flesh. You ready? You ready? You're going to have to love him more than your money. Yeah, you're going to have to love God more than your money. In order to be ordinary, to not be ordinary, you're going to have to love him, God, more than your money. In order to love God, in order to not be ordinary, watch this, you're going to have to keep his word, not just the parts of it that don't bother you. So you got to keep his word despite who's watching, or you're going to be ordinary. You're going to be ordinary. If you don't want to be ordinary, watch this. You can't switch up every time you turn around. One minute it's all God, the next minute it's God and cussing, and then it just goes from God and cussing to cussing. Just ordinary. You want to be the type of extraordinary Christian that when somebody's baby gets sick, they call you. You know what I'm saying? And watch this. And it shouldn't surprise you. And you should have your, as the old saints used to say, as the seasoned saints used to say, your war clothes on. Well, I, Where you headed? Oh, such and such baby just got sick. I'm over here. I'm going to go lay hands on him, because once I lay hands on him, I expect something to happen, not because I'm somebody, but because of the somebody that resides in me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Where you headed? I'm headed over here to talk to one of my dogs, because he's just going through a thing, and he's thinking about going back to the world and not giving God a chance and walking out on God. And I'm just going to go over and lay hands on him and say, the devil is a lie. You are called. You are purposed. You are destined, and you're going to walk in every now and then. As a Christian, you're going to be called to do things that they wouldn't call the ordinary Christians to do. That's why when some things go down with some people, y'all say, well, why didn't you call me? Because what they really don't want to sell you is, they would be like, because, you know, I had to, you know, but they called somebody from a church. But they didn't, what they was trying not to tell you was, what more am I going to call you for? We're just going to sit over and look at them together. I was just with you 2 nights ago. You ain't got no power. You ain't got no will. You ain't got no discipline. What are we going to do? But the world needs us. Let me take it deeper. There's churches that need us. Their members are never going to come over here, and we don't want them. But what we do want to do is exemplify a Christ-like church to where their members go up to their pastors and say, why ain't we moving like this? I went over there to a special service and hey, why ain't we moving like this? See, kingdom work is not just working it out for the Unity Worship Center. I want the church across the street to be okay. I want the church to be over there to be okay. I want the church to be over there to be okay. If you preach in Christ crucified, I want you to be okay, because we need you. And so we ain't going to have everybody. We're going to have a lot of them. We're going to have a lot of them. But we ain't going to have everybody. I declare that by the time this thing is over, we'll have 6 services. We won't have everybody, but for the people that's going to other places, why not be the pilot? Why not be the example? Why not be the forerunner of what church was really supposed to be about? Like when you read in the book of Acts, that's the church you see. And they were not without struggle. They were not without issue. They were not without, you know, some foul in the game. You understand what I'm saying to you? But they was intentional and serious and unapologetic about casting it out. Calling it out. Because everything don't need to be cast. Some things just need to be called. Yeah. I'm ready, buddy. You can play the soft music. I'm done. Not your ordinary church. Not your ordinary Christian. And you have to make up in your mind that you're going to walk a walk that is that of God. Not the walk of your friends. Not the walk of your spouses. Not the walk of your kids. But a walk that is in alignment with God. Ain't nothing ordinary about that. Miko, when they see you come from where you were to who you're destined to be, there will be nothing ordinary about that. And I believe that many of you are in this place of your life, key, where you're done being ordinary. You're not going to be so easily figured out anymore. And it's because you're craving a new life in God. My man, B's been dropping scriptures on the men's thread. Busted me up. Because he's done with ordinary. He's done with ordinary. Amen. We serve a super, super God. So there's no way that we can be anything other than extraordinary.